Yeah, I think it can help a range of things, really, more from the neuropsychiatric problem, depression, anxiety in particular. Anxiety syndrome is a dominant issue in Parkinson's. But yes, it can help with sleep issues.
Thank you very much.
Are you up there?
Where motor symptoms are concerned, I believe there are two phenotypes. One is tremor dominant and the other is slowness of movement. In which of these two groups are non-motor symptoms more progressive?
A very good question. I think there is now reasonable evidence from work by David Byrne and various other people suggesting that if you have the akinesia dominant phenotype, in other words, not much tremor, these patients tend to express more non-motor symptoms than those who have the tremor dominant phenotype. I think, Karen, did you look at it in your studies? But this has been shown in a couple of other studies as well. And this really needs to be researched further. It again suggests that there might be some fundamental differences between those two phenotypes of akinesia dominant and tremor dominant Parkinson's in terms of their non-motor expression. Particularly depression is commoner in the akinesia dominant and sleepiness compared to the tremor dominant phenotype.
Oh, question over here.
No.
Hi, Andy. These survey forms that we've filled in for doctors to help them if we ever have to go to the doctor, you know. Have you had this symptom, that symptom? How often do they get reviewed? Because sometimes I don't tick, I might have a couple of years down the road. Is that more beneficial to help the doctor?
Do you mean talking about the symptoms?
Or? Well, I mean, if I had a whole lot filled in for the last four, you know, it's been 2 or 3 years. So what is it?
I see. Right. I see what you mean. I got it. I think ideally, in an ideal world, you know, 2 to 3 months would be that. I mean, for us in the UK, we've got the NICE guidelines, which tells us that people should be followed up 3 to 6 monthly. I can understand the constraints of service pressure and so on. And you can actually modernize your service a lot as well. Like you can do telephone consultations, you can do... because some of the symptoms, you do not necessarily have to physically travel. Discussion is all you need, and suggestion over the phone might be equally useful. So I would say ideally that, but I'm aware of the fact that that may not be possible.
Well, it's been extra pressure on the doctors, but... I was to go there and see 6 months from now, I had a bad throat. And sometimes he'd bring his manual, see, right, you have Parkinson's, yeah, you can have that medication. But if I've got other symptoms, that might go against that, which he's not aware of, unless it gets repeated so often.
I think it's difficult to say. In an individual case, I think what some doctors do sometimes is hand out questionnaires, and then the next time they'll ask questions, or the Parkinson's nurse specialist will focus questions into a particular person. Oh, I know, but I'm saying a lot of people don't hand out questionnaires to fill in, but they ask the specific questions in the interview. I think it's very difficult to comment on individual cases in a forum, but I think you raise a valid point. I was going to ask one other question, which is, do you think there will be a situation when you were talking about the different types of presentations, will there be 20 years down the line some people who are not treated with dopaminergic drugs, but when they present will be treated with serotonergic drugs or glutaminergic drugs?
I think that's very possible, particularly, you know, the fatigue and the pain phenotypes, yes. Yeah.
Oh, is there another? Oh, sorry, yes. It's my eyesight, sir, I'm afraid, rather than...
On filling out the form, which I did about 4 or 5 months ago, I wasn't quite sure how one dealt with the question, I suffer from a symptom one day a month, or I suffer from that symptom 29 days a month. Mm. Didn't seem to be any distinction. Either answering yes or no.
Yeah, I think that particular questionnaire has got a very simple, it's a flagging tool, you know, we can't read much more into this. And the other thing that it does, it tries to pick up symptoms in the last month. So it says, if this happened to you last month. Now, of course, you can measure those by the scale, which is a different item. But that's much more time-consuming. And that has to be administered by the healthcare professional. So if somebody is concerned about a particular symptom and is treating that, then the step would be to measure that by a scale and to remeasure it at another time to see whether you made a difference. Just like you would do in multiple sclerosis, for instance. Just like you would do in stroke. You know, you do measures, baseline, do an intervention, then you measure again. So that's the way to look at the scale-related parameters. But the questionnaire is just designed for the nurse or the doctor to look at this range of items, which otherwise might be very difficult for people to ask or remember, because there might be so many. I mean, we've had people presenting with only three different non-motor problems, but they've been very diverse. You know, they had sleepiness, bit of problem of getting up at night to pass urine, and probably a little bit of memory issues. Now, you can't think of all these questions separately to ask the patient, but they're causing problems. But if they tick it, yes, then you ask the patient, is this a relevant problem? How often are you having it? And if they say yes, it is regular, then you would probably try to address it. If they say, well, I've only had it once in the last month, it doesn't really bother me, then fine. That would be the management strategy.
Okay, thank you to everyone for participating. I'm going to hand over now.